ಶ್ರೀ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ
same arrow.
bhakti is important. So as we know, generally in farming we use this word cultivation. So cultivation means care. So a farmer or a gardener, when he sows a seed, so all the time he is consciously aware, he is aware that he has to take care of that seed. So he doesn't just sow the seed and forgets about it. So his meditation is always there. He is always meditating on it. Okay, we have to put the seed and have to take care, proper watering, fertilizers, manure, other things. And then from the seed comes the seedling, small plant, and then it grows. Then later on it can become a tree. But in the initial phases, as we know, there is more care required. So this separation that Arjuna is exhibiting is on a very high platform. So our bhakti creeper may be very small at the moment. So we have to take care of it. We have to avoid all the offenses. As yesterday in the initiation ceremony, both Maharajis, Jayapataka Maharaj and his Ajahn Amrit Maharaj, both were describing the 10 offenses in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So if we avoid these offenses, so that means we are protecting our garden or our farm from any unwanted intruders. And when we water it by quality hearing and chanting every day, not once a week, once a month, every day we have to take our dose. Like every day we breathe, every day we eat, every day we drink. Sometimes we fast, of course, but yeah, we breathe every day, right? So same way, we have to hear Bhagavatam every day. Whether in temple, somewhere else, wherever we are in the world, we have to hear Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavatam. So that's like watering the seed. So this whole process is called cultivation. So we are cultivating our small creeper with care. So care, we have to be very careful. Careful means we have to be alert. It's not that, oh, different situations just come and we go with those situations. No, we have to be proactive to understand that we are in a foreign land. So we have to be very careful of any attacks. Like if you are in a pond where, or lake where there is crocodile, so that's his area. So we have to be very careful there, because he is very strong there. As we know in the story of Gajendra, he was a strong elephant. He had power of many, many elephants. But when he entered the lake where there was a crocodile, their ego, it was proven that the elephant was weak and he was getting defeated by this crocodile, because crocodile was his natural area. So he was strong there, he was getting supply of food and he was very naturally present there. But elephant, he was in a foreign area. So that's why he was defeated, he was getting defeated. But in the end, you know, he got saved, because he, in the previous life, he was a king and a great devotee. So he remembered the prayer and he prayed to Lord, and then Lord came and saved him. So now we have to understand that we are in a foreign area. This is not our natural position in this. This is called Durga Dham. We have Golok Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, Mahesh Dham. This is Durga. This is the fortress of Durga. So we are in a foreign area. So Maya is all around. We can't say, oh, now we are in temple or here, and or now I am in Albert Park. City has more Maya, or this country has more Maya. No, Maya is everywhere. It's like you are deep in water. It's called your dump in water. So you're just wet. Doesn't matter which part of the swimming pool you're in. You're just submerged in water. It's not that if you're submerged in this part of the well, you're less wet. No, it's not like that. If Maya, just different forms, different flavors. You go to different countries, different cities. There's different type of Maya. Maya is one, but it's exhibited, it's manifest in a different flavor. You go to India, it's not that India is the dharma bhumi. So many holy places. But still, what's going on there? So much crime and so much sinful activities going on in India. How is that possible? Because that's also a part of this foreign land. This whole material world is foreign land. But here, out of His mercy, Krishna comes and exhibits His pastimes to attract all the unfortunate people. So when in foreign land, we have to be extra careful. So an alert of attacks. So you have to equip yourself with arms and ammunition and protective layers so that when the attacks are there, and they are constantly there, attacks are constantly there, the material energy doesn't rest. It's not like, oh, give me a break, let me absorb myself in Bhagavatam once a week. No, it won't work like that. Or once a month, when I get time, I may read or hear Bhagavatam. It won't work like that. If we are saying that when I get time, then I read Bhagavatam or hear Bhagavatam, that means we are saying that because we are flowing with the modes, as modes are pressurizing us. So we are saying when modes will give me relief, then I will read Bhagavatam. But the point is, modes will never give relief. Maybe sometimes we may get down. But what we have to do is we have to make a plan intelligently so that we can attack these agents of Maya. Actually, they said, Prabhupada also said that if you are doing Bhakti Yoga, you are surrendering to Krishna, means you are declaring a war against Maya. So we have to understand that. And Maya, of course, she is agent of Krishna. She is doing this thankless task of punishing or covering up the conditioned souls. So we have to be alert. Actually, I have an uncle, he used to work for Indian Army. And they used to, for training purposes, they used to just drop them from helicopters in foreign land, and they had to be so careful. They had to because for getting information of the areas in this other country or other foreign lands, that where are their arms hidden or where are their bases. So they would just drop this army man in the middle of a forest in foreign country. Now he has to be extremely careful. If he is caught, means there's no mercy if you are caught. You can't say, oh, by mistake, I am just here. No, they can understand. If you see an army man, you can understand he's an army man. You know, the way they are trained, they're like very straight face, and they're like, by seeing, you can know that you're an army man. I used to be young, and this my uncle used to come, and I used to think he's so thin. And then he used to say, you know, okay, let's training for years, his commando training, he was like a rock. So they have to be so careful because they can be easily identified in this foreign land. So he was telling us that, all the family members, that they had to go through this. So, of course, he's still alive because he was not caught. So that's why. So from this we can understand that in the foreign land we have to be extra alert. It's no casual behavior. If we are casual, then it's very dangerous. So if we take this care, then what happens is in the early stages we are protecting our small and delicate creeper, and then when it grows, then in later stages when it's a solid tree, then we can see all these emotions of separation. They are manifest in the correct way. So as here Arjuna is exhibiting, he's in separation of Krishna, and in today's verse we see that he's saying, oh, I have everything, all my weapons, my bow, my arrows, the same chariot, but Krishna is not present. And in the previous verse, yesterday's verse, we saw that he's saying that these impudent cowherd men, just these normal cowherd men, they defeated me, and he was guarding the wives of Krishna. And he couldn't even defeat these cowherd people who didn't even know archery. And here there was Arjuna who had defeated even Lord Shiva. And he's saying, because Krishna is not present, I have no power. But here we can have to understand that his lamentation is not that, oh, I'm defeated, I want to win. No, his main lamentation is that Krishna is not present, because that's what his mood is. He wants to be in presence of Krishna and reciprocate with him in that way. Victory or defeat, that's not the main point for Arjuna. Another main thing to understand, especially today's verse, we can see that how anything we accumulate materially, it cannot save us, and it is of no value, because people keep collecting things and they think, oh, this will save me, my bank balance will save me, my family members will save me, or my friends will save me. People have so much faith actually, and they get more proud. If some people, they know some influential people, if they are friendly with them, they become even more proud that, oh, you know, I know this person, so I can get so many things done. And they become more proud. But here Arjuna is saying, you may have the best of the material power, but if you don't have Krishna, that is zero, null and void. He's feeling void, zero. He had the Kandiva, though it was very famous, and his chariot given by Agni, the god of fire. So no use because Krishna is not there. So whatever fighting he was doing in the battle of Kurukshetra, he understood that it's because of mercy of Krishna he was able to kill so many people. And as in Bhagavad Gita we see, Krishna says in 11th chapter, because as we see in 1st chapter, when Arjuna starts giving his reasons, he starts presenting his doubts that I won't fight because of sinful activities and compassion for his family members and different reasons. And then he sat down and kept his bow and arrow aside. He said, I won't fight. Govinda, I would fight. And then in 11th chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, Tasmatva Uttishtha. Uttishtha means just get up. You just get up. And you get up and win the glory. they were entering the blazing mouths of that universal form. So universal form means this material creation that we have. In this, everything is created and then annihilated. So Krishna was telling Arjuna that they will anyway die. Just see them. He showed them, showed Arjuna that see, they are all, I am killing them. But you win the glory, you have, because I am telling you. So you follow my instructions and then you will win. So that's what we have to understand, that we have to follow Krishna's instruction. And why people think that they are doing not Krishna? Because actually in 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is described, there are three types of doers. Three doers. So one doer is the jiva, the soul, the living entity. The second doer is the material energy, prakriti. And the third doer is the super soul or Krishna. So what do the three doers do? They have different roles. So it all starts with the jiva. So what can we actually, we are also doers. Karta, we are also doers. But we have limitation. What can we do? We can do only one thing. What's that? That is desire. So we can only desire. Now when we desire something, who actually carries it out is prakriti, the material energy. So when we do something, I lift this cup, this glass here, and put it down. So this material energy has worked. I desire, the living entity desire, and my body is made of the 8, 5 gross and 8, 3 subtle elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So they are acting. So material energy is also the doer. Because of the jiva's desire, material energy carries it out. But the most important factor is the third doer, which is the super soul. Unless he sanctions, nothing will happen. So he is the main doer. So that was described by Srila Prabhupada in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita in one of the purports. So now when the jiva desires that I want to, he misuses his independence and he says, oh, I want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So then, and if he persists, then Krishna sanctions as super soul. So it's super soul acts like, you know, people say, oh, if God is all good, then how, why doesn't he stop crying? So if a murderer goes to kill someone, and God is supreme, supremely powerful, all powerful, why doesn't he stop so much crying, murders, and so many other things, robberies, why doesn't he stop? Because a Lord doesn't interfere with the minute independence that he has given to the jiva to desire. But if jiva desires wrongly, so there is a small voice coming from the super soul. It says, no, don't do it. So even when a thief goes to steal, there is a voice. No, he knows actually it's wrong. What he is doing is wrong. But then he again desires more strongly, no, I want to steal. And then so there's another sound, oh, no, no, this is wrong. But then what happens? As I said, if the jiva persists, if he just is stubborn, no, I want to steal, then there is a sanction by the super soul. But at that point, Krishna, or as the feature of super soul, he says, now you do it, but at your own risk. You would have to face the consequences. So that's the problem. So all three are the doers, the jiva, the material energy, and the super soul. But ultimately we have to see the jiva actually enjoys or is naturally situated in its constitutional position when it aligns or dovetails himself with the supreme being. Here also we see in purport Prabhupada writes, the human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without this blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like decoration on a dead body. So we have to dovetail. So the desire has to be dovetailed with the desire of super soul. So that's desire of super soul is very easily accessible in these scriptures that we have, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, so that we can easily access it. As we know, there were these sages, they are so merciful. They think that about this the human civilization. So 5,000 years ago, they knew that Kali Yuga is about to start. So say they started this 1,000-year sacrifice at Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, and they asked questions to Suta Goswami. And actually, next couple of chapters we'll see how they said actually nothing is working. They were trying to create this sacrificial fire, but nothing was happening. There was smoke, and they said our bodies are covered with smoke. they had become covered with so much smoke. So they asked these different questions to Suta Goswami, and then he answered that how that actually bhakti is the only solution. So that when you link yourself with Krishna, then that's the actual solution. So here Prabhupada nicely mentions that he says it forward begins that as we have discussed more than once. And in many lectures also, he used to say, I have said this so many times, but he repeats it. Because, you know, that's the condition of Kali Yuga. All the living entities are inflicted with these problems. Prayana, Alpa, Isha, Sabir, Kala, Asmin, Yukajana, Manda, Suman, Madhya, Manda, Bhagya, Yukadu. So we are very unfortunate. Everything is short. We are misguided, and due to these all these influences, we forget. So that's why these acharyas, they repeat, so that you know we are hammered again and again. They hammer the nail again and again, so that it goes in this heart consciousness. It has become very hard-hearted towards Krishna, steel-framed heart. So the acharyas just try to do their artistic work, they hammer again and again these different points so that we can understand one day. So here also Prabhupada, as you see, is saying, as we have discussed more than once, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. So plumes are like the feathers, I think, on peacock, when you see. So peacock is very beautiful when it spreads its feathers, big feathers, and it dances. And in scriptures we see a description that when Krishna would play the flute, then peacocks would dance beautifully and he would be encouraged more, and you know, he would play more beautifully and peacock would dance even more beautifully. So that's the reciprocation. So now if, here it says borrowed plumes. If you borrow it from someone and you become proud of it. So these days people have some possessions, but they think they belong to them, and they become proud, and they don't acknowledge the even existence of God. So this is like being puffed up by borrowed plumes. So Krishna has provided you with intelligence, with wealth, with beauty, with nice families, with heritage. So these are the four main things as Queen Kunti discusses. But then what happens? You become proud of it. Janmeshwara Shuta Shrive, Eir Mana Madhavama, Nevarate Vidatamvai, Tvam Atinchan Bhojan. So these material things are provided by Krishna, and then people become intoxicated with these things. So Prabhupada is saying we have to understand. is the powerhouse, Krishna. If powerhouse stops supplying energy, there is no light in the bulb. The Bhagavatam begins like this. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadhyasyata Amarat Itarata Shtarteshva Vidyasvara. So Janmadhyasyata, everything comes from Krishna. So we have to acknowledge it. And when we acknowledge that, then our life becomes very beautiful. There is a lot of stress because there is so much expectation. Once you think you are the body and mind, so we put so much expectation. Oh, I want to achieve this, achieve that. And then, more than our own expectation, there is expectation of our families and friends, family members and friends. And that is even, that pressurizes more. So now we try to be the independent doer and we try to achieve things. And that's the cause of suffering. Once we think we are independent from Krishna, then there is so much misery. Only independent person is the supreme person. Swarak, Abhidya Swarak, he knows everything directly and indirectly, and he is completely independent. We are not independent. If we think we are independent, then there is so much misery and distress, and it puts a lot of pressure on us. But when we think, oh, actually, you know, I'm just trying my best to do my duties, and results are in hands of Krishna, then there is like, you can breathe nicely. Otherwise, it's like you are pushed by material mode so much to achieve this, achieve that, satisfy this one, satisfy that one. But if you satisfy Krishna, he is the root, you know, and then eventually everyone is satisfied. As Devamrita Maharaj was discussing in one of the home programs a couple of days back, he was saying that, so watering, when we water the root, then all the parts of the tree or plant will be satisfied. But we should see in a bigger picture. It may not be just instantaneous. Okay, you worship Krishna and all your family members, all your friends are satisfied with you. No. All devotees, we face problems. Some of our family members and friends, they are very favorable and they take off nicely. Sometimes they become better than us. And we take inspiration later from them. And we think, you know, he or she became devotee after me, and they are going, their craft is going like this, and mine is little on the flatter side. So, like that. So some take up, and some are neutral, some are favorable. They say, okay, you do it. I'm not doing it, but I appreciate what you're doing. So that's also good. And then some are like, no, what you're doing is like totally crazy. But then how can we see if they are very close family members or friends? How can we see that when we are serving Krishna, they are also satisfied? So in the bigger picture we have to see, Maharaj was explaining that how eventually they will understand. If not in whole life, at the last moment of their last breath, they will understand. So we have to keep serving the whole, and then all the parts of that whole will be eventually satisfied. So here we can discuss these analogies. There's so many analogies given in three in the translation and then more in verbal. So here we see, so without Krishna, if you do an activity, it's like offering clarified butter on ashes. In the yagyas, and we see in the yagya yesterday also, in initiation yagya, the pujari, he puts ghee, clarified butter, and then what happens? The fire blazes more, you know. So he puts the fuel and the fire blazes more. But here it's saying, if you put ghee on the ashes, what will happen? Nothing would happen. going here, going there, very busy. When you do book distribution, say no time, I have an appointment. There is so much fuel they are putting, so much ghee. But what's the result? It's no fire. Because they are putting ghee in the ashes. And then it's like accumulating money with a magic wand. It's not possible. With magic wand, you just do something and there's money. That's what people want these days. They want fast money. So that's where gambling comes in. Recently, I met a man who was old man, 60 years old. He said, I asked, where are you from? He said, I'm from Philippines. I said, please have a look at this book. And he had seen Bhagavad Gita, but he said, no, I have no money. He showed me his wallet. He said, see, I have nothing. I spent everything on gambling. It's very addictive. Gambling is very addictive. He said, I'm a very sinful man. I just lost whatever I had. And he said, I'm very sad. My wife left me after 33 years of marriage. So he was a little sad. But what I could feel, what he was also saying, because of his activities, actually his wife kicked him off. So he was admitting he is very sinful. But he wasn't saying in a repentant mood. He was like, he would continue with that. So that's the thing. It's like people want very fast enjoyment. And in Bhagavad Gita we see that enjoyment in mode of passion, it's like instantaneously it would look very nectarian, but later it's poisonous. So we want very fast money, fast pleasure, fast relationships, everything. We have to see the result very fast. But a person should be encouraged to come in mode of goodness and do this austerity and take up this bhakti process. So results of bhakti are actually instantaneous. But due to the coverings, we cannot see. We cannot see how Krishna is actually acting. But devotees like Arjuna, they can see. So here, Arjuna is saying that I have everything, Gandhi Babu, with which I fought with so many warriors and defeated them. And another thing, Devamrita Maharaj was discussing that how devotees, everyone, all devotees basically say, oh, it's your mercy. It's only because of your mercy I was able to do that. Even new devotees, they say, but only mature devotees actually understand. They understand scientifically how it happens. So here Arjuna is executing that. He's saying that, okay, if you say, I am a great fighter, many places in Bhagavad Gita is addressed as Mahabahu, or greatest among Purusha Shabha, greatest among men, or lion among men, like that, many ways he is addressed. But Arjuna here is saying, I'm nothing without you, Krishna. I have seen, you can see, now he's scientifically proving that. He's saying, okay, see, you think I am great and I acquired these possessions like Gandhi Babu and my arrows because of my prowess. But he's saying, see, I have everything. I have the bow, I have the arrows, I have the great chariot. But what happened? The cowherd men, they took all the wives, they defeated me. So he's scientifically proving that Krishna's mercy was there, that's why he was victorious. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhamantara, Tatra Shri Vijayamuti Dhruvanite. Wherever there is Krishna, then devotee is there, then he is victorious. So that's one level to understand that actually whatever we are able to do in our material or spiritual life, everything is because Krishna is helping us. So we have to align ourselves with his motives. Then next level of scientific understanding is, so that's one level we see how Krishna is merciful on us. So that can also lead to pride. Krishna's mercy. We can scientifically see. So that, what does that mean? Krishna is more merciful on me, right? So others are less important because Krishna is more merciful on me. So I must be better than others. So that's the point given in Sri Brihad Bhagavatam. So there, then this next level is mentioned where Narad Muni is, he goes to one devotee after another and he tells them that, oh, you have actually received Krishna's greatest mercy. And that devotee, whoever he approaches, he is approaching very mature devotees. So those devotees, they don't even want to hear that. And they are very amazed that why is he saying that? And then he gives proofs. He approaches Prahlad Maharaj, he approaches Lord Shiva, he approaches Brahma, he approaches Indra, and to everyone he says, oh, you have actually received Lord's mercy because, see, you know, you are able to Lord Shiva, he says, you are the husband of, you know, this Durga Devi, you have so much power, she is, you know, your servant. But then Lord Shiva doesn't even want to hear his praise. That's the real devotee. Real devotee is real humble. He doesn't want to hear his praise. So first he closes his ears, then later, and becomes very angry at Narada Muni. Why are you saying this? But generally, if someone praises us, we are like, you know, flattered and we like it. And we say, oh, you didn't praise me enough, we think, you know. You didn't hear about this glory of mine, you know. So you should have mentioned that as well. But here Lord Shiva, he just close tries to shut his ears, and later he tries to put his hand on Narada Muni's mouth to just stop these glories. And then he scientifically tells him that I am not great, and he tells that how actually he has not received mercy of Krishna, and he guides him to the next advanced devotee. So this is what we have to, with our intelligence, cultivate this attitude that whatever we are able to do, it's because of Krishna's mercy, and others are actually getting more mercy than me. And so that in that way we can actually chant the holy name very nicely. So these are the four principles of humility, that we have to be as humble as the blade of grass, as tolerant as a tree, and we shouldn't expect any praise or respect from others. And the fourth one is we should give all respect to others. So if we do these four things, then we are actually on this advanced platform, mature platform, and then we can actually perform this pure devotional service without any motivations, without any fruity mentality, without any speculation. Then we can perform this pure devotional service, and then we can understand these moods that are exhibited by Arjuna here and other devotees in other parts of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Flames. So which chariot is he talking about?